This morning I referred to a to discussing our convention with the congressman from New York, and at that time I discussed what was happening during the presidential report. We are, as most of you know, a coast-to-coast movement of blind people. We are more than a chapter. We are more than an affiliate. We are the blind of this nation, speaking for ourselves. And here to give you a State of the Union address is Dr. Mark Maurer.
Okay, Carl, thank you very much, and I appreciate the very kind music to go with the introduction. As has been pointed out, on Tuesday there will be an election. I hear a little commentary out there offering humorous response. We are, however, a part of the voting process, and amendments to the Help America Vote Act say that there shall be, in every federal election in which federal money has been used to supply the equipment, an accessible voting machine in every precinct. Now, I have heard that in New York there's been a little argument about whether this law applies. It is a federal law, and it does apply nationwide, and New York is a part of the nation, in case anybody wanted to know. On Election Day, we are going to have a number that can be used to take complaints about what it is that people find as an experience in voting. We call this the Voting with Independence and Privacy Line, or VIP, and the number is 877-632-1940. 632 is NFB. 1940 is the year we were founded. You got that. And Carl Jacobson's birthday. In any case, if you find that you can't vote, get a hold of that line and tell people what happened. We have information on the internet, on our website, that tells people how to manage the polling place. And if you can't figure that out, then you can call. And especially you can get somebody to call to find out how to set up the machines in case they don't know. It would astonish you how many voting officials don't know. If you want the auditory ballot, ask for it, and it's supposed to be available to you. The line will be available from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. I realize the polls will be closed here by that time, but there are places where they're not closed. This is Eastern time, so be sure to cast your ballot. One of the things we have to do is make the politicians face the electorate, and that means go to vote. I worry about our country, as I've said some other places, but I'd worry about it more if we didn't vote. So go down there and cast your ballot. This summer, we are meeting in Detroit at the Renaissance Hotel. It's a Marriott hotel. The rates are $62 for doubles and singles, $66 for triples, and $68 for quads. You will find it hard to get into a hotel of the kind we're meeting in for those rates. Come to the convention. It's almost cheaper than staying home. The convention will be underway from the 3rd through the 8th of July. We are trying something new, and that is we're trying to shorten the convention. The convention, we have run now for many years a week. We have come into the hotel. We have set up and had lots of seminars on the first day, and we've had committee meetings and other things on the second day and registration. And then we've had the board meeting, and then we've had 4 days of plenary session. We're going to have 3 days of plenary session. We've taken the afternoon of the second day of plenary session, and we've made it tour day. We're moving that to the day after convention, so you get a whole day for tours if you want it. I asked the convention if it wanted the convention to be shortened, and about half the convention said yes. As was pointed out to me, a lot of other people would have said yes, but they'd left already. They'd already shortened the convention. So what we're going to do now is shorten the convention by 1 day. We'll see how it works. If it doesn't work, we can always expand it, but I expect it will work. We're going to take the business work that we used to do on the last day of convention, and we're going to move it to the afternoon of the second plenary session day. So get ready for that. That's what we're going to do, and it'll shorten the convention by a full day for those who think that the convention's too long, and a number of people have thought so. The board meeting will be before the first plenary session day of the convention. It may be the 5th, I don't know. Here, if I count backward, 8, 7, 6, 5, yes, the 5th. Amazing. Herb Magan of the Herb Magan Insurance Agency knew that. Raffle tickets are $5. The Herb Magan Insurance Agency is selling raffle tickets. The Herb Magan Insurance Agency consists of Herb Magan. Which reminds me of an old joke, which I'll tell you later. It's not quite as old as Herb Magan, but almost. Herb Magan is actually older than Carl Jacobson, if you can believe that. I'll quit with all this chitter-chatter and get back to the report. The library service, we said that we needed money for the digital talking book conversion. We started that a year ago plus, and we said we needed $76 million for it. We got this number from Mr. Silke, who runs that program. The tape-recorded books have served well, but they're old and they're over. You can't get tape nearly as well as you could before. The 3M company quit making tape a while back. And so you can't get tape, and you can't get the kind of recorded material that we're hoping to have. And as you have noticed, some of you, the tapes, when they get old, don't work nearly as well. We've got to move to some other version of the talking book program, and the digital medium is what we have adopted after about 10 years of experimentation and study. We were supposed to get the machines and the books in 2008. It didn't happen, and it isn't happening. But they will be available in 2009. No later than May, I'm told. The machines themselves are supposed to be delivered in March. The books are to be delivered to the libraries in May. We will be getting 20,000 machines a month. So, starting in May, $20,000 a month are available, and those will come to the Machine Lending Agency and be available to you. I don't know what's happening in New York, but in many places there is a sign-up list, so if you're interested, you sign up. As has been said, veterans and those who are 100 years old or more get first preference. The veterans, because they served our country in the military, and the people who are 100 years old or older, because if they're ever going to get a shot at it, we better step on it. I know you're not supposed to say that, but that's the reason. We were promised $7.5 million at the beginning of the program, and we said that's not enough. We have to have $19 million, and eventually the committee in the House that makes these decisions decided on $12.5 million, and that's where we came out. This year, we have been through the House of Representatives committee that deals with this, and we came out with $34.5 million. Not only the enough money to make up for what was not given last year, but enough to get us through this process more rapidly than we might otherwise have done. The Senate still hasn't voted on it. Get a hold of your senators. Tell those who are serving in the Senate that we need the money for the digital conversion. We're operating at the moment on a continuing resolution. They're coming back after the election. The story was that there would not be a congressional session after the election, but the economy began to melt down, and the Congress thought, well, they'd come back to see if they could have a whack at fixing the economy, and good luck to them. I know how good the Congress is at fixing the economy, and I worry for our country. But they're coming back, and the opportunity is there to get this budget through before the end of this legislative season. Tell the members who are in the Senate from New York that we need them to go along with the House amount. Senator Landrieu out of Louisiana, who is in a very tight race, chairs the committee in the Senate. Tell the members of the Senate from New York that they should let her know that we need the Senate committee to go along with the House committee in the proposal fully to fund the digital talking book conversion. You've all heard about the KNFB reader. Have one here in my pocket. You have one in your pocket, Carl?
I do, sir.
You do? Did you get one for Mindy?
We share from Harry.
Mindy wants one, Carl.
We'll talk about it. I so appreciate that.
I'm on Mindy's side. The KNFB reading technology. It's true, I was on Mindy's side, yeah. Yeah. It was at the Maryland convention, in fact. I asked Carl, now, how am I going to introduce Mindy again? And we had a discussion about it, and I said, now, Carl, I got to have some proper way to introduce Mindy. And pretty soon I introduced her, and they decided, after all, they would tie the fateful knot. Yeah, yeah. Not that much. In any case, the KNFB reader, it is available. We introduced it last February. It is on a cell phone. It is a reading machine on a cell phone. It's the most portable reading machine that you can find anywhere. And if you want to know how well it works, I decided to find out which tickets I was going to use for lunch, and I took them out of my pocket in the morning session and read them and found out which ones were lunch tickets. And so it'll read, and I took it on an airplane the other day, and I needed to know, well, I wanted to know which channel I was listening to on the old headphone thing, because channel 9 on the one of the airlines is the one that tells you what the pilot is doing and so on, and I wanted to turn to channel 9, and I took a picture of my armrest, and it told me what channel I was on. You can take this thing anywhere, and it'll read, and it doesn't get tired, and it doesn't object to reading at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, it doesn't demand a check at the end either, no. You can read with it. It does demand electricity now and then, and it does demand a check up front. Fairly sizable check. The software for it at the moment is $1,995. That's $1,995. And the telephone is whatever the telephone costs. I paid $500 for the one I've got. So it comes out to about $2,100. Did I say that right? $1,595. Did I say it wrong? See, you just got a discount. $1,595. Sorry. I said it wrong. I know Charlie has when he was reading his breakfast ticket this morning in the elevator. I saw him doing it. And Mrs. Mara, the other day, we were in some hotel, and she was reading all the little bottles trying to figure out which one you use to wash your hair, and she found out. So anyway, you can use this thing to read all over the place. By the end of 2008, this machine will translate for you. You can take a picture of a document in English and get it to read it to you in French. Now, you might not know French, so take a picture of a document in French and get it to read it to you in English. It'll do either way. And it'll have about, at the beginning, there will be about 6 languages it will do, but the objective is to make it translate into many, many languages. Will it cost more? Yes and no. I don't want to speculate about the future because I don't know enough about it. But I think that if you want a lot of translation software, it'll cost more. This machine, however, is usable anywhere, and we have been involved intimately in the development of it, which is why it works as well as it does. Because it has translation software in it, and because I sometimes go to other countries, I want it to tell me how to read things in other languages. When I was in Geneva this summer, I had a little trouble figuring out some of the things that I wanted to know that were in print. Sometimes there were people there, but they didn't speak any language that I understood. My phone now could help make that happen. I want to say one other thing for you about this. This phone at the moment, the software is almost ready for release. It will be by the end of the year so that you can take a picture and get it to translate. The next step after that is to do voice-to-voice translation so that you can call up some guy in France who will speak to you in French and you will hear what that person says in English. And it came to pass because the National Federation of the Blind wanted a reading machine small enough you could put it in your pocket. The March for Independence now and the Imagination Fund. We have decided that we want to put together a program to raise money for our organization at all the levels that we have levels, that is to say, at the local, the national, and the state levels, and the Imagination Fund is where we do it. This summer, at the National Convention, we released the Louis Braille coin, the prototype of the Louis Braille coin at our Imagination Fund March for Independence rally. Next summer, we are going to have other things at our March for Independence Imagination Fund Rally. This is a walk for opportunity, a march for independence. I would like you to raise your money to be a part of this. If you raise $250 to be a part of this march, then you can be in the middle of it and wear your hat with pride and help make a difference in the lives of blind people all over the nation. That's what this is about. Some of you were at the March for Independence last summer, and I would like you to do so again this summer. But that means you got to plan ahead and start thinking about your Imagination Fund and your March for Independence. We have spent some money in the Imagination Fund to raise all sorts of programs throughout the United States, and some of that money has actually come to the state of New York. We can do this, more of this, if we put our minds to it and think about all the exciting things that we can build at the state and the local level. But that means you got to be a part of this. This year we will be concentrating on literacy for the blind. And that means programs of education for blind children. It means programs of education for blind adults. In many states, if you want to be trained to read Braille and you're an adult in that state, there's no place to go. You might want it, and you might even urge that somebody do it for you, but there isn't any place to go. We have created many programs of this kind throughout the country, and there might be one that we ought to create here. We need to find enough money to make sure that there's seed money to get it done. We have thought about books for blind people. We have been dealing with those book questions, and we have said that we need to have books for blind children who get into school at the same time that sighted kids get their books. And we got a law adopted in 2004 which said that that was a requirement. That law has gone into effect, and its implementation, however, has not brought as many books to the hands of blind children as we think are needed at the same time that sighted children get theirs. And so we've created a task force to see if we can find a way to get those books into the hands of kids at the same time that their sighted counterparts get them. You heard the story this morning about the teacher who said, if my blind student doesn't have a book, then the sighted students don't get them either, and everybody gets the information the same way. I'll just read it out loud. Well, that is a great example, but we need to have kids get their books. We have created a task force, and we think that what we're going to do is figure out who's responsible for the lack of reading material for blind kids, and we're going then to bring them to task. We're going to ask the judges if the law applies in those states. One of the target states is
New York.
I want blind kids to get their books, and it's only fair that they get them at the same time that sighted kids get them. Now, that was the beginning. We're now working on a college bill. We got one through the Congress which said that there will be a study for the next 2 years, and at the end of that time there will be recommendations to the Congress about what kind of legislation should be adopted so that college students get the same books who are blind, to get the same books as the sighted college students get on the campus who want to study in those classes. We started out with the books for the kids, and we said to the publishers, we want you to help us, and they said, we are not in the charity business. And we said to them, it may come as a surprise to you, but we're not in the charity business either. We're in the enforcement business. And it's only right that we have the same kind of reading matter that everybody else gets. Now, we've got this bill that's been through, and we're supposed to have a study, and we're supposed to try to decide how we're going to get it. But that's not all of it. We have been dealing with the companies that put material out on the Internet. The Apple Corporation. We started with the Target Corporation. We said to them, you are selling things on the Internet, and the law says that you have to make your websites accessible to the blind. And they said, we don't know when we can do that. And we said, when do you think you'll know when you can know when you'll do it? And they said, we don't know. And so after a while, we said, if you keep this up, we won't believe in you, and we will ask somebody else to look at it. We'll sue you. Do you understand? And they said, we still don't know when we're going to think about that. We sued them, and they are now expected to pay to the people who didn't get access to their website $6 million. In the meantime, we were talking to the Apple company. Apple has a program. This is its iPod iTunes program, and it makes a lot of information available on iTunes. You know that they do, and a lot of it is song material. And, of course, songs are very important and very interesting to listen to, but some people say they're simply entertainment, so that they don't apply to some of the same in some of the same ways that other web-based systems do. However, they then put a lot of course material on the Internet and said that you can use the iPod, which is their product, to get your information if you're a college student. And as a matter of fact, a lot of colleges began to require that students get an iPod to study. Education is covered by some of these laws that we have helped to enact. It is required that the universities make their systems accessible to blind students. We said to the Apple people, we want you to do it. They said, well, it's pretty complicated. And we said, it is as complicated for you as it is for anybody else, and a lot of other people have done it. And they said, it's awfully complicated. We said, keep that up. And we went to the Attorney General of the state of Massachusetts that we've come to know, and we said to that Attorney General, if you'll go with us and tell them they have to do this, maybe they'll get the message. And we went and we told them, and so we have an agreement with Apple. And that agreement is that they'll make the iTunes websites accessible. And that agreement is that they'll make it possible to use your computer to get at all that information. And they have also found a way to make the fourth generation of their Nano iPod so that it speaks out loud and you can navigate using voice. In other words, it's accessible. They said it was very difficult, would take a long time, and it couldn't be done. And somehow they found a way. You will remember that the Google company was at our convention. And we said to them, you've got to make your Google book search system accessible to the blind. And they also told us how hard it would be. And that it was not that they weren't interested, but their company was decentralized. And each portion of the company did its own development. And there was no way to have a central policy of accessibility because each group built its own thing in its own style. They announced 3 days ago that the Google book search will be accessible to the blind within a specified time. It's a kind of a long time. It's 5 years. But they have now accepted the reality that their programs must be as accessible to blind people as anybody else's. And they've announced that they're doing it, and some of it at least is accessible. We have looked at an accessible program for students at the University of Michigan, and it does work. We will now move on to the rest of the states and the nation. Carl Jacobson told me that I would be done in 35 minutes. And that was about 32 minutes ago. I could talk about our Junior Science Academy that we had this summer. It's a science program for blind kids in the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grades and their parents. Somehow the parents are worried when students come to our place that we might not know how to manage them. When they leave, they feel better about it. And the kids love it. Or we could talk about the 2009 Youth Slam, the second one, which is coming up this summer. We could talk about our efforts to build an automobile that blind people can use. We've got a couple of universities that are working on that with us. And we're hoping to have at least a mock-up which has some driving capacity to use for the Youth Slam this summer. or some other things that we have here. We have a number of pieces of legislation. Furthermore, Mr. President, I think we should consider the fact that we have to fund this organization. That means that I want all of you to help me find ways to fund it. The Imagination Fund, the March for Independence, raise your money and get some in there. Put some money into the PAC plan. Find a way to make contributions. Where's New York in PAC, Mr. President? Number 11, New York, has $841.50, and number 10 is Nebraska, which is always ahead of New York, at $882. And then there are nine others ahead of you. In other words, find a way to be a part of the organization, both at the national level, the state level, and at the local level. This is a thing worthy of doing. One of the things that is different about us from any other organization in the world. We start with the proposition that there is value inside of the hearts and the minds of the people that we are. And we say that this value will change the nature of blindness in our country and throughout the world. And we say that we have enough imagination and enough energy to make it come true. And we say that our spirit will build something that has never been. And after we say all that, and after we mean all that, we go forth from this place and we bring it into being, which is a demonstration that we're everything we said we were. We don't always succeed at everything, but we always succeed at something. We don't always get everything as fast or as much as we want, but we never quit until we get to the goal that we establish. And this, Mr. President, is the meaning of the National Federation of the Blind, and it is why I'm pleased to be in Niagara Falls on this day, this weekend, with those who are helping the rest of the Federation members throughout the nation to build a better world.
Thank you, sir. Built in a little time here because I wanted to see if anybody had a question for Dr. Maurer. I will take 5 minutes worth of questions. Wilbur, you spoke first. Wilbur, there's a mic coming via mic to you. I wanted to build in a couple of minutes here and still allow us to have the opportunity. Julie, get ready for a door prize. Wilbur.
Dr. Maurer. I wish you'd cover the new free canes that the Federation is doing, and also, when will the silver dollar be available? How much will it cost? And I know it's next year, but when in next year? And where can I get one or two or ten?
Okay.
To your left. You don't want me to use this one here?
Oh, does Mike have a portable for you?
What?
Go ahead. I thought Mike gave you a portable.
No, but I'm willing to have one.
You can use that one.
Oh, thanks.
All right, now we're both on mic.
Yeah, you can have that one. I'll have this one.
There we go.
The silver dollar will be available whenever the Treasury gets around to minting it. Now, I don't wish to be mysterious about it. The Department of the Treasury mints it, and the minting of the silver dollar, we tried to get them to do it on the 4th of January, which is Louis Braille's birthday, and they said they wouldn't do it. They said they were going to mint the one for Abraham Lincoln first. He's an American, and this Louis guy is just a crummy old Frenchman. They didn't put it that way, but that was the attitude we got out of them. And then the National Aeronautics and Space Administration put a bill into the Congress saying that it wanted some commemorative coins made for NASA. That bill has not passed, but it might pass. If it does pass, that one is supposed to be for 2008 coins, which will be minted in 2009, because there's no way to gear up for it in 2008. And I don't know whether that will have an effect upon our minting. We believe that it will be as early as March, but that's not a sure thing. We'll know more about it after we get to the beginning of the year, and we'll keep you informed. How much will it cost? It's the cost of silver plus the cost of minting, and the cost of silver is currently going up. We think it will be $50 or less. We think it will be $40 or more. We have to find out what the Treasury says. They are the ones who determine what their cost is, and we don't. They don't determine the cost of silver. The market does that. This will be a real live silver dollar, and it will be available from the mint. There is a strong emphasis against having somebody else buy a bunch of them and then resell them, although we will undoubtedly do that even if we lose a little money on it, because we want people to be able to get them. That means you'll be able to get them from us, but we're going to sell them at the same price that the Treasury does. On the subject of free canes, we have announced a free cane program. Anybody in the United States who wants a cane, and I believe that they are 53, 55, 57, 59, and 61 inches long, and there's... Does it start with 53? 55? 53, 55, 57, 59, 61, and 63, says Mrs. Mauer.
Sounds like an auction.
Anybody who wants a cane of any of those lengths who writes in and says that you want it, you can get it. You can order it on the website, although somebody tried to destroy that piece of our website.
No.
We have fixed it, and it took us a few days to fix it. So you can order it either on the website or you can send in an order. And you can get it free. It doesn't mean that you can get a free cane every day. You can get a free cane every 6 months, but not more often than that. And some people have written from agencies for the blind saying, I know a blind person, send me a cane. No, you don't. We're not using this program to subsidize programs for the blind. We are using it to get canes into the hands of blind people who want them. That answer those questions, I think, Mr. President?
Sounds like Wilbur. Very good. Thank you.
Straight fiberglass.
Have time for one more question for Dr. Mauer. Anybody? Laura, go.
We have a Social Security bill in, not to reconnect that tie, because that hasn't worked every time we've tried it, but to eliminate the earnings limit penalties that are part of the Social Security program at the moment. Remember that bill number, Carl?
I'm not in the Quiet Club bill, no.
Wait, Laura, we can get you that bill number.
It's 38.
3834, H.R. 3834.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's good to be back in
New
York.
Thank you, sir. It,